there's a lot going on in the world of pay and benefits for the military. Some of it's good news, some of it might disappoint you. Federal News Radio Scott Massioni joins me with a summary of the important personnel news in the last couple of weeks. And you would think the doldrums of summer and the lack of personnel on Capitol Hill might slow things down, but no.
Well, we've got the NDAA happening, and also the military services are trying to keep up with the private sector. So I think things are pretty busy for them still.
All right, let's talk about something that may or may not be good news, depending on your point of view, and that is voluntary separation incentive pay, $40,000 in VSIP. Who, what, and for why?
Sure. So this is for military, not for military. This is for DOD civilians, DOD civilians who are trying to leave. They want to retire early, or if how you look at it, if DOD wants to shape the civilian workforce. So in the NDAA, the National Defense Authorization Act for 2017, the Congress gave DOD the ability to amp that that incentive pay up to $40,000.
Up from $25,000.
That's the biggest increase and first increase since 1993. So what they want to do is just, this is a pilot program that was in the 2017 NDAA. They want to extend that pilot program to 2021. And, you know, a lot of people seem to be pretty happy about this. This gives the DOD the ability to kind of cut back on some of the people that are doing jobs that are obsolete, jobs that they don't need as many people to do. And it also gives the Pentagon an ability to cut some of their headquarters staff, which is something that they've been mandated to do by Congress within by 2020.
Don't they have openings, though, at places like the Defense Contract Audit Agency and some of the ancillary services where there's a shortage of people? Is there any thought, have you heard, about maybe redeploying people to a different type of job, if in fact they're capable of doing it?
Right. So I talked to some people that were in the government unions, and what they said is that this is mostly a way to get rid of people that are kind of obsolete, that have skills that are maybe not really used anymore, or just areas that DOD doesn't need as many people, like a card cataloging system, per se, you know, something like that. You need to get rid of those people, but they're still on the payroll. So it's more of a way to shape the DOD and be able to kind of get the people that they don't need out, so they have more room to bring people in that they do need with the skills they need.
And do they have a number in mind?
They don't have a number in mind at this point. I think it's pretty much at the DOD's discretion at this point to just what they want to do is just give DOD the tools that it needs in order to shape the workforce and to get rid of the extra personnel that they have.
We're speaking with Federal News Radio's Scott Massioni, and something else you've been covering pretty extensively over the past couple of months, and that is the shortage of pilots that the Air Force is experiencing, and now you're reporting there's some money against that problem.
That's right, yeah. So they're, at least on the House Armed Services side of things, they're trying to add some more money for pilots that would give them $50,000 for reenlisting or re-signing up from their contract. That's pretty exciting news for pilots, because it was previously at $35,000, and then the year before that, it was about $25,000. So they're really understanding that this is a problem for the military when they're looking for pilots. Another thing is that the Navy announced their reenlistment numbers for 2018. That ranges between 75,000 and 150,000 over 5 years. You know, it doesn't sound like a total huge amount, I guess, you know, if you look at that over 5 years, but it definitely is something. And these numbers depend on what squadron you're in. So if you're in one of the more deployable squadrons, you get the 150,000. If you're in, you know, one of the lesser, not lesser, but quote unquote lesser squadrons, you get the 75,000. The Air Force is also kind of working on a larger push for over years, which gives them gives pilots more than $400,000 over 13 years. So if you really want to sign up, you know, you want to be a pilot for a long time, that's a lot of money that you can get over those 13 years.
Well, even after taxes, it's enough to put a couple of kids through college if you happen to have them. I guess you could look at it that way. And
sure. And that goes on top of your regular pay, plus basic allowance for housing and the great benefits you get, like TRICARE within the military.
And what about drone pilots? Because there's that burnout factor with them also.
Right. And, you know, they're also getting a bonus. I'm not positive about this year's NDAA, about if they're getting an extra, they're bumping up that bonus. But in the last year's NDAA, they got an extra bonus, which was pretty comparable to the traditional pilot bonus. But, you know, like we've said, they do get a lot of burnout, and they have to actually look at the destruction that they cause, which can be pretty traumatic for a lot of people.
And also on the Air Force front, you're reporting that there's some tweaks to, as you call it, better leadership within the ranks at the Air Force, and also benefits for the medically separated. What's going on there?
Yeah, these are kind of small little changes, but you know, they end up being important over time. General Goldfein, who's the chief of staff of the Air Force, he created something called the Squadron Revitalization Task Force. And what he said is that squadrons are the basic building blocks of the Air Force, and he wants to change these so that they're better suited to help the Air Force in the future. So every captain in the Air Force has to go through something called Squadron Officer School, and they're changing the Squadron Officer School to be from 5 weeks to 6.5 weeks. And what they're going to focus on is logistics, on ethical decision making, on multi-domain warfare. So just kind of bringing the Air Force into the 21st century and thinking maybe a little more on cyber terms. Also, on top of that, the Air Force is expanding their disability kind of pay review system right now. They're opening up disability ratings for review for airmen who are medically separated between 2001 and 2009. That's a big deal if you're someone who was hurt or needs to, you know, get your medical records in order.
There is a lot going on. And I wanted to also ask you about if there's any fallout or any repercussion from the Trump administration decision to, I guess it comes from the White House ultimately, but it seems like the service leaders agree with it, of delaying the recruitment of transgender individuals.
Right. Yeah, there has been a lot of fallout from that. And, you know, it's something that I think a lot of people are upset about because there was so much extensive research that went into the transgender rollout it to begin with. If you don't remember, the DOD last year said that transgenders may serve openly in the military, and then they're going to start recruiting them, actually going after them, and they would pay for their medical transition if they were in there. Now that medical, so if you're a transgender in the military right now, you have nothing to worry about. But being recruited, maybe something that might not work out for you. Steny Hoyer, the House Minority Whip, said it's pretty outrageous that they would delay this issue. DOD spent a lot of time talking to the RAND Corporation, talking to outside and inside medical groups, the service chiefs, the Secretary of Defense at the time, Ash Carter. So there was a lot of work that went into this. They found out the actual cost of that would be between $2.4 million and $8.4 million to help out with the medical bills of these transgender individuals. That equals to about 0.00038 to 0.0013% of the whole defense budget, if you look at it at the $640 billion mark that they're asking for this year.
Well, it's really a policy question more than a financial question.
Right. And you know, the Defense Department is trying to widen its lens, its aperture at this point, to add a lot of more talented individuals who may not be thinking within the box. You know, they're outside creative people who have, you know, smart jobs. And that includes transgender people, it includes immigrants, it includes, you know, every walk of life at that point. So the DOD needs to rethink how they're recruiting. And this was part of that effort.
And briefly, there is the possibility of people that came as immigrants and served in the military could be facing deportation?
That's right. Yeah. So that's, you know, a little bit of a stretch at this point saying they're facing deportation, but DOD's reevaluating a program that allows talented individuals to come in from other countries, and basically they get a chance to go on the fast track to be American citizens. They might cancel that program if over the next 6 months. Canceling that program would leave about 1,000 individuals facing deportation, possibly, if they don't figure out the legal status of them.
Federal News Radio, Scott Massioni, thanks so much.
Thank you.